Welcome. You are listening to AfterSight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for joining us for Arapahoe County News, read by Austin. Today we will be reading the following main articles. Fact check: Aurora Council member makes cadre of false, inaccurate claims on the Jeff Fard Show. Man, 43, fatally shot in Aurora strip mall parking lot identified by county coroner. An artist's exploration of a Congo seaport, and following up with other miscellaneous articles. Centennial, Metro. Fact check: Aurora council member makes cadre of false, inaccurate claims on Jeff Fard Show. Quote, "You allow people to come on your show and say anything they want," end quote, Jurinski said. Quote, "I have listened to a lot of people come on your show and say things that are not facts," end quote. Written by Cassandra Ballard, Centennial staff writer, May 16th, 2025. There are three ads associated with this article. The first ad, Centennial Muse. There is a list of different events and activities coming up very soon. Thursday, the 22nd, Baby Time, Wheat Ridge Library. Saturday, the 17th, Is Your Dog Getting Enough Exercise for a Healthy Lifestyle? Moss, Denver. Saturday, the 17th, Can Consistent Routines Help Reduce Puppy Biting? Right Room, Denver, Colorado. Saturday, the 17th, Could Reliable Pet Sitting and Dog Walking Transform Your Routine? Right Room, Denver, Colorado. Saturday, the 17th, Is There Connection Between Boredom and Puppy Biting? Right Room, Denver, Colorado. Saturday, the 17th, The 2025 Barefoot Shoe Expo, Colorado Convention Center, Denver, Colorado. Saturday, the 17th, How Does Positive Reinforcement Influence Puppy Biting? Right Room, Denver, Colorado. The second ad, Denver International Airport's Snack and Souvenir Expo, Wednesday, May 21st, 2025, 7:30 a.m., The Westin at Denver International Airport. Click for details. Pitch your products to Den concessionaire buyers. Learn how to become a kiosk operator or concessionaire. Network with Den concession partners and other businesses. The third ad, New Driver Flex Rate, Get Your First Auto Loan with Us, The District Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA. There is a picture of a woman hanging her head out the door with her hand high up in the air, enjoying the breeze. Aurora. Aurora City Council member Daniel Jurinski appeared last week on the live stream Brother Jeff Fard Free Think Show, covered a wide range of issues facing Aurora, Denver, and the Aurora City Council, allowing the first-term lawmaker to make numerous unchecked claims. Quote, "I'm here for a reason, and I believe we can find common ground," end quote, Jurinski said during the May 6 broadcast. Jeff Fard live streams a popular show from Denver's Five Points, regularly holding conversations with guests ranging from local activists to prominent politicians. The show frequently focuses on community issues, especially those affecting communities of color. The broadcast conversation last week was prompted by a social media post focusing on the May 4th incident at Aurora's Del Mar Park involving numerous young adults and teens performing car stunts in the road encircling the park. The video footage showed what appeared to be black youth, quote, "burning rubber," end quote, among smoking tires on cars, doing, quote, "donuts," end quote, on Del Mar Circle, twerking on police cars, and one person is shown spraying what appears to be a bottle of carbonated wine and later driving away. Aurora police responded to the gathering with several officers. Police would not release details of the case after request by the Centennial, saying the incident is under investigation. One person has reportedly been arrested, according to Jurinski, which police did not verify. Quote, "All of our police resources were taken to go respond to Del Mar Park, to Del Mar Circle," end quote, Jurinski told Fard during the show. Quote, "In my opinion, it felt like you had posted the video almost to promote them. More from a town, I think, was the caption," end quote. Fard said he was just happy the event did not result in a death during the response by Aurora Police. The subject of excessive force used against people of color by Aurora Police and the Colorado consent decree imposed on the department due, quote, patterns and practices, end quote, of that excessive force has been a frequent topic of discussion by Fard over the past several years. Jernsky said there was no permit obtained by the group to warn the police about the, quote, party, end quote, and that there were damages left behind by burnt tire marks in the street. She said the event strained police resources on a Sunday afternoon. Police have not corroborated her claim. She said the video, which Fard reposted with the caption, quote, catch more from A-Town, end quote, appeared to promote reckless behavior such as drinking and driving. There is a post attached to the article written by Daniel Drinsky that was a screenshot from X with the following. This was yesterday, Sunday afternoon in Aurora. The man who posted this, Jeff Fard, goes by, quote, Brother Jeff, end quote, and is supposed to be a community activist advocate for the youth community and is a very strong voice for the black and brown community in Aurora. He seemingly supports this behavior as he doesn't condemn it anywhere. This caused the shutdown of a major intersection in Aurora, took a lot of police resources, caused damage to our roads, and was absolute mockery towards our at Aurora PD. These individuals were drinking and driving and evaded the police. I hope that true community leaders will step up to condemn this behavior as I do and be a mentor to the youth in Aurora. There is also an attachment for a Facebook post that directly correlates to this article. Quote, this was a dynamic where black young people from across many sections of our community that don't get along for some reason on that day, they came together in unity, end quote, Fard said. Quote, there was no problems with what was taking place in terms of gathering, in terms of Aurora in general, and particularly Del Mar Park, end quote. He said he did not agree with the unsafe driving, but he did not believe in outright condemning the youth. He said he and Jernsky were both young once and probably made some childish mistakes back then. That's a part of being young. Quote, condemnation, rather than pulling them in, doesn't help, end quote, Fard said. Quote, we can have these conversations about what's safe and what isn't, but we also need to acknowledge their humanity, end quote. Jernsky said her focus was on public safety, but she agreed that building trust between police and Aurora's black community, especially young people, was crucial. She said she was, quote, not shocked, end quote, that officers didn't harm anyone at the event, and she said there has been a lot of progress made in the department, especially by the city's newest chief of police, Todd Chamberlain. While talking about trust between the black community and the Aurora police, Fard brought up the death of Elijah McClain, a young black man who died at the hands of Aurora police and fire departments in 2019. McClain was stopped walking home from a convenience store at night after committing no crimes and was eventually given a lethal dose of ketamine after being restrained for trying to go home and get away from Aurora officers. Jernsky agreed that the courts found McClain had been killed by police and medics during the confrontation, but Fard said that justice was only pursued after numerous public protests and tireless advocacy by McClain's family. The conversation moved to the recent controversy over the May 2024 death of Killen Lewis, a black man fatally shot by Aurora police during his arrest in an apartment parking lot. The controversy has on numerous occasions resulted in protests and other events during city council meetings, virtually shutting meetings down or rearranging agendas. Lewis's family and supporters continued protesting even after former district attorney John Kellner said the officer who shot Lewis was not at fault. Quote, people continuing to protest the death of Killen Lewis are not helping the situation, end quote, she said. Quote, conversations are what will make changes, end quote. She said she cannot speak with the Lewis family due to the ongoing lawsuit. Both Fard and Jernsky agreed that Aurora needs to continue to work harder to build trust with the black youth. Then, the conversation meandered among a long list of topics, with Jernsky making a long list of statements and claims. Quote, you allow people to come on your show and say anything they want, end quote, Jurinski said, quote, I have listened to a lot of people come on your show and say things that are not facts, end quote. Jurinski made a host of unsubstantiated claims about a variety of subjects herself during the broadcast. Below are the facts surrounding some of those assertions. Claims and facts. The claim. Jurinski said former 18th Judicial District Attorney John Kellner cleared Aurora SWAT officer Michael Deke in the Lewis shooting after a county grand jury absolved Deke of wrongdoing in the case. Quote, the threshold to indict somebody on a grand jury is not hard, end quote, Jurinski said. Quote, he even sent it to a grand jury, and a grand jury cleared Officer Michael Deke, so that's the end of the road, end quote. The facts. Kellner said he did present some details of the case to the county grand jury, but he said in a public statement that the grand jury declined to actually hear the case, according to statements released to the Sentinel and other media. Typically, grand juries are presented evidence of a case and then decide whether there's strong evidence for a criminal trial to proceed, issuing an indictment, or they return, quote, no true bill, end quote, indicating the evidence presented by a prosecutor does not support criminal charges. In a 20-page report from an internal investigation by prosecutors, Kellner makes his own assertion that Deke violated no state law in the fatal shooting. Quote, I find that there is no criminal liability on the part of Officer Michael Deke stemming from this officer-involved shooting. Criminal charges, therefore, are not appropriate or warranted related to the officer's use of deadly force, end quote, Kellner, 18th Judicial District Attorney, said at the time. Despite Jurinski's claims, the question of whether a court would find enough evidence for a trial and whether the case could be made and won has yet to be answered. Since the DA has closed the case, the district's new district attorney, Amy Padden, has not indicated she would reopen the case. There are no other avenues for criminal investigation. Padden told the Sentinel earlier this year that bypassing an actual request for either indictment or no true bill is rare, but it can happen. The claim. Jurinski said that at a 2024 council meeting, when a supporter of Lewis's family asked lawmakers on the dais to stand if they believed Lewis should be alive, she was the first person on the dais to stand. Quote, I was the first person to stand, okay, the very first night, end quote, Jurinski said. Quote, you can ask any one of my colleagues. The very first night that someone got up to the podium, and right now, I was the very first person that stood, end quote. The facts. Each council member stood the first time Medean Sofner, a leading group member, asked for city lawmakers to rise on the dais, but council member Crystal Murillo was the first to stand, as made apparent in a city recording of the event. Jurinski and council member Steve Stunberg were the last two among council members to stand. Mayor Mike Coffin, the city attorney and city manager, also on the dais, did not stand. The claim. Jurinski said Councilmember Stephanie Hancock sat with LaRonda Jones, Killen's mother, for 2 hours and sympathized with her as a black mother with a son who was also implicated in a crime. The facts. Jones told the Sentinel this week that Hancock did meet with her, but she said it was, quote, not compassionate at all, end quote. Jones says Hancock spent the time trying to persuade her to tell everyone to stop the demonstrations at the city council meetings. She said most interactions between her and council members have been unpleasant. Hancock did not reply to requests for a comment from the Sentinel. The claim. During a controversial flash mob that gathered July 28th at the Gardens on Havana, linked to the Venezuelan presidential election that day, Jurinski said a police car was shot at during the commotion. Jurinski also said that the police later confirmed in a press release in October that an officer was shot at during the gathering of as many as about 3,000 to 4,000 people. Quote, they came out and admitted it, end quote, Jurinski said. Quote, it's on their page. They made a public statement. A police officer was shot. He called out shots fired on the radio, but no one came, end quote. The facts. The initial reporting from the police department and the Sentinel did state that people in the gathering shot into the air, but no one was shot at or harmed during the gathering in the afternoon. There was also a report of an officer's car being hit by an, quote, unknown object, end quote, but they were unsure if it was related to the gathering or if it was a bullet that hit the car. Quote, an Aurora patrol unit was hit by an unknown object while driving in the area, and it is unclear at this time if it's related to the gathering, end quote, the press release stated 2 days after the gathering. During Farr's show, Jernsky acknowledges the flash mob event was in the afternoon when families were out shopping. Police reports and Sentinel reporting state that police and city officials said they were in control of the event until it ended at about 9 p.m., according to a previous report from the police. In December, the Aurora Police issued a press release that said after weeks of investigation, they determined that at about midnight on the same day, there was a shootout about 5 blocks south from the site of the flash mob, long after it had dispersed at 9 p.m., according to police reports. At the time, an Aurora police officer was patrolling Havana Street near East Idaho Avenue at about midnight, according to a police affidavit. Quote, an on-duty Aurora police officer in a marked unit reported over the radio he was driving south on Havana Street when he heard gunfire and believed his vehicle had been struck by a bullet, end quote, Aurora police spokesperson Joe Mullen said in a statement released in December. The officer was not injured by the gunfire, police reported. A short time later, officials at a nearby hospital called police to say a man had come to the emergency room suffering a gunshot wound to the scalp. Quote, the man later told officers he was on the sidewalk near the 1500 block of South Havana Street when he heard several shots and realized he had been struck, end quote, Mullen said. The man was with a woman, and they were standing outside after being involved in an unrelated traffic crash. Investigators at the time recovered a host of shell casings, but no information about suspects in the shooting. Quote, investigators also identified 4 additional victims who were in the crossfire, end quote, Mullen said in the statement. None of those people were injured. In the weeks after, the Aurora Police Department Crime Gun Intelligence Unit collected security video from different locations in the region, piecing together what happened, police said. Quote, a rolling gunfight had taken place on South Havana Street between a black Land Rover SUV and a white Ford F-150 pickup, end quote, Mullen said. Investigators said that the fight was over the pickup truck, which had allegedly been stolen from an Aurora apartment shared with a man involved in the shooting. While some of the people involved in the shooting had links to the Gardens on Havana flash mob earlier in the day, the shooting was not part of that event, police said. The claim. Jernsky said that police officers responding to the July 28th flash mob were neglected by the department officials and in grave danger at the time. She said that an officer, quote, had climbed buildings to get themselves out of that situation, end quote. Last July, Jernsky posted pictures on her social media from a rooftop near the gathering, multiple pictures spanning hours showing daylight through sunset. The facts. City officials and the police department have repeatedly denied the assertion, saying police were in control of the gathering until it ended. Former police officials said officers climbed to the top of the buildings for surveillance, not for protection or out of fear. The claim. Jernsky said that profane and threatening text messages exchanged among herself and other city council members, the subject of an October 29th, 2024 Sentinel report, were unsubstantiated. Quote, how come the only outlet that reported this is the Sentinel? End quote. She said, quote, you know why no other outlet would report it? It was because nothing was verified. Nothing was verified. There could be more context to this. There could be messages missing from this. End quote. The Sentinel published an article, October 29th, showing text messages from Jernsky to fellow Republican council members Francis Boergen, Stephanie Hancock, Steve Sundberg, and Dustin Zavonk, where she curses the group aggressively. The Sentinel verified the text among 2 sources. Jernsky was angry about Bergen's proposal to continue levying Aurora's employee tax, which Drinsky had worked to abolish as part of a campaign promise. In the text, she curses and makes threats. I would like to pause and let the listeners know that these next few sentences I'm about to read are direct quoted text messages that are both vulgar and very explicit. Quote, "I will not be at the meeting on Monday, and every single one of you can go fuck yourselves," end quote. Her first message reads, quote, "I fucking campaigned on that, you fucking pieces of shit. And fuck you, Dustin," end quote. Quote, "And I heard you're a co-sponsor, Francis. You can definitely go fuck yourself. You've never owned a business or a fucking thing in your life, you pretentious bitch," end quote. Quote, "My friendship will literally sick every single one of you is dead. Dead. Oh, and my loyalty? Also dead. I hope you all have miserable fucking lives. I might make that happen for a few of you. Fuck you," end quote. The Centeno was able to verify the authenticity of the texts, and none of the council members have implicated in the group chat have disputed them. The issue led to numerous public disputes about Jurinski's behavior as a city lawmaker. The Centeno story was a part of a report by Axios in Denver. During an Aurora study session October 14th, Jurinski spends about 10 minutes confronting Bergen about the proposed head tax change and how Bergen did not inform her about it before the study session. Without mentioning the texts, Bergen responded that she did not speak to Jurinski about it because she is a, quote, bully, end quote. Quote, "Whenever we have a discussion and she doesn't get her way, let me tell you what she does," end quote, Bergen said about Jurinski. Quote, "She's a bully, and she has bullied a lot of people on this council over this issue, and she curses me out with cuss words, and it's vile. So that's why I did not make the call, because I didn't want to get screamed at, because it's very abusive and toxic," end quote. On the Fard show, Jurinski said she and Bergen have since made amends. Quote, "Sometimes you have to have a complete breakdown to have that regrowth, that rebirth, if you will," end quote. She said, quote, "Francois and I are very close. I would go to bat for her, I support her, and I love her," end quote. The claim. Jurinski addressed a controversy last year surrounding the annual Aurora Pride event held at the Aurora Reservoir. Jurinski objected to the city's LGBTQ support event being held at the reservoir, essentially occupying the venue for one day in August. She has maintained that it's unfair for one group, any group, to occupy a city venue. She claimed that the Aurora Pride event is held by a for-profit group from outside of Aurora. Quote, "Shutting down the reservoir, not even for a nonprofit organization," end quote, Jurinski said to Fard. Quote, "For a for-profit organization and telling season pass holders that weren't given any blackout dates when they bought their season pass that they can't come out to the reservoir. And not only that, blocking the access from South Shore, from Beacon Point, from people who bought homes in those neighborhoods who have access to walking trails into the reservoir and bike trails into the reservoir. Those were sealed off," end quote. The facts. Aurora Pride is produced by a nonprofit organization and has been since the event was conceived by Outfront magazine publisher Jerry Cunningham, who lives in Aurora. Its board of directors last year included two Aurora City Council members and at least one city employee, as well as Centeno, Colorado publisher Dave Perry. The reservoir event was open to everyone, and admission has been free to all with advanced registration. Fees for the event were related to parking. Proceeds from the annual event, which come from the vendor fees and sponsorships, pay for scholarships at the Community College of Aurora. There are two pictures associated with this article. The first picture has the following description. Councilmember Danielle Jurinski talks with brother Jeff Fard on his live stream show, May 6, 2025. Centeno screenshot. It is a picture of Danielle and Jeff sitting together with microphones at a table. The second picture has the following description. A driver burns rubber on Peoria Street in traffic May 4th, 2025, from a Facebook reel. The picture is a bunch of people on the corner of a street with the car burning its tires and has lots of white smoke in the air. Sentinel Metro. Man, 43, fatally shot in Aurora strip mall parking lot, identified by county coroner. Two others hospitalized with life-threatening gunshot wounds. Written by the Sentinel, May 16th, 2025. There are three ads associated with this article. The first ad, Sentinel Muse. There is a list of different events and activities coming up very soon. Thursday, the 22nd, Baby Time, Wheat Ridge Library. Saturday, the 17th, Is Your Dog Getting Enough Exercise for a Healthy Lifestyle? Moss, Denver. Saturday, the 17th, Can Consistent Routines Help Reduce Puppy Biting? Right Room, Denver, Colorado. Saturday, the 17th, Could Reliable Pet Sitting and Dog Walking Transform Your Routine? Right Room, Denver, Colorado. Saturday, the 17th, Is there a connection between boredom and puppy biting? Right Room, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 17th, the 2025 Barefoot Shoe Expo, Colorado Convention Center, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 17th, How does positive reinforcement influence puppy biting? Right Room, Denver, Colorado. The second ad, Denver International Airport's Snack and Souvenir Expo, Wednesday, May 21st, 2025, 7:30 a.m., The Westin at Denver International Airport. Click for details. Pitch your products to Den concessionaire buyers. Learn how to become a kiosk operator or concessionaire. Network with Den concession partners and other businesses. The second ad, Denver International Airport's Snack and Souvenir Expo, Wednesday, May 21st, 2025, 7:30 a.m., The Westin at Denver International Airport. Click for details. Pitch your products to Den concessionaire buyers. Learn how to become a kiosk operator or concessionaire. Network with Den concession partners and other businesses. The third ad, New Driver Flex Rate, Get Your First Auto Loan with Us, The District Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA. There is a picture of a woman hanging her head out the door with her hand high up in the air, enjoying the breeze. Aurora. Coroner officials have identified a 43-year-old man fatally shot Wednesday in an Aurora strip mall parking lot. Police continue to look for suspects after three people were shot, one fatally, while in West Aurora strip mall parking lot Wednesday night. The Arapahoe County Coroner's Office said James Michael Young died from a gunshot wound, ruling the death of a homicide. Police were called to the parking lot of 1155 South Havana Street at about 8:30 p.m. after reports of shooting there. Young, quote, was found in the parking lot and was pronounced deceased at the scene, end quote, Aurora Police spokesperson Agent Matt Longshore said in a statement. Another man suffering life-threatening injuries from gunshot wounds was taken to a nearby hospital. Quote, a short time later, officers located a woman who had arrived at the hospital by private vehicle with a gunshot wound, end quote, police said. Quote, she remains hospitalized with serious injuries, end quote. Police said an initial investigation revealed that at least one of the victims knew a suspected shooter. Quote, as of now, no arrests have been made, end quote, Longshore said. Police said anyone with information can call Metro Denver Crime Stoppers at 720-913-7867. Tipsters can remain anonymous and still be eligible for a reward of up to $2,000, police said. Sentinel. Sentinel Muse. S'mores then meets the eye this weekend across the region. Something fun or amazing for everyone this weekend and beyond. Written by the Sentinel. May 16th, 2025. There are three ads associated with this article. The second ad, Denver International Airport's Snack and Souvenir Expo, Wednesday, May 21st, 2025, 7:30 a.m., The Westin at Denver International Airport. Click for details. Pitch your products to Den concessionaire buyers. Learn how to become a kiosk operator or concessionaire. Network with Den concession partners and other businesses. The third ad, new driver flex rate, get your first auto loan with us, the District Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA. There is a picture of a woman hanging her head out the door with her hand high up in the air, enjoying the breeze. Aurora, a Sprung Springs opens up a wide range of reasons to get out of the house and into the fun, starting with the s'mores on the local shores. Families and friends can kick off summer weather with music, sand, and treats as S'mores on the Shore returns to the Aurora Reservoir. The event invites guests to relax on the beach with their own personal fire pit, complete with s'mores supplied and beach chairs for up to 6 people. 2 evening sessions will be offered, from 4 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. and 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. Each time slot available costs $15 per fire pit. Guests seeking an extended stay can book both sessions for a full 3-hour experience. Alongside s'mores, attendees can enjoy music and beachside vibes while taking in sunset views along the reservoir's shoreline. Registered guests should follow signs to the upper parking lot near the swim beach. Entry to the reservoir will be free for participants on event day. If you go, where? Aurora Reservoir, 5800 South Powhatan Road. When? May 16th, either 4 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. or 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. or both. Click here for details and registration. But wait, there's more. Roll with it, Ride the Cyclone. A thrilling blend of dark comedy and catchy tunes arrives in Aurora with the regional premiere of Ride the Cyclone, a musical that promises to entertain and provoke. The production takes the stage at Nicholson Auditorium at the Vintage under the direction of Jennifer Schmitz. Written by Jacob Richman and Brooke Maxwell, Cyclone follows 6 Canadian teens whose lives are tragically cut short in a bizarre roller coaster accident. But death is only the beginning. In a surreal twist, the teens awaken in limbo, where a mechanical fortune teller offers each a once-in-a-lifetime, or after-a-lifetime, opportunity. Tell their story for a chance to come back to a life. With a script praised for its wit and emotional depth, and music that spans a variety of genres, the musical has become a cult favorite in the U.S. and Canada. Note, Ride the Cyclone contains mature themes and language. Even though these characters are in high school, this, quote, mischievous musical, end quote, is intended for mature audiences. If you go, where? Nicholson Auditorium at the Vintage Theater, 1468 Dayton Street. When? Through June 8th. Curtains vary. Tickets, $20 to $39. Details and sales, www.vintagetheater.org or 303-856-7830. First Date. Coal Creek Theater of Louisville will present, quote, First Date, end quote, the Broadway musical comedy beginning this week. Directed by Heather Frost, First Date features a book by Austin Winsberg and music and lyrics by Alan Zachary and Michael Wiener. The story follows blind date newbie Aaron and serial dater Casey as a casual drink at a busy New York restaurant spirals into a lively, high-stakes dinner. Their inner critiques come alive with fellow restaurant patrons morphing into friends, exes, and family members who sing and dance them through the evening's emotional pitfalls. Described by The Hollywood Reporter as a, quote, winning crowd pleaser delivered with comic verve and charm, end quote, First Date has also been praised as, quote, sassy, madcap fun, end quote, by the Associated Press. If you go, tickets, $33 to $35, with opening night on May 2nd designated as a, quote, pay what you will, end quote, event with a $10 minimum. Dates through May 17th, Fridays, Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. Details, www.cctlouisville.org or 303-665-0955. Venue, Louisville Center for the Arts, 801 Grant Avenue. Really, Really Rembrandt arrives at the Denver Art Museum, masterpieces from National Gallery. Metro residents are a rare opportunity to experience the work of one of the history's greatest painters up close, as part of a nationwide initiative marking the 250th anniversary of the United States. The Denver Art Museum is holding two Rembrandt-related masterpieces on loan from the National Gallery of Art. The featured works, quote, A Woman Holding a Pink, end quote, and, quote, Portrait of the Rembrandt, end quote, likely painted by his workshop, will be on display in the museum's European Art Before 1800 galleries through February 6, 2027. The exhibit is part of the National Gallery's, quote, Across the Nation, end quote, program, which brings significant pieces from the national collection to museums across the U.S. Quote, We are honored to be among the first museums in the country to participate in this initiative, end quote, said Christoph Henrich, DAM's director. Quote, It is an incredible moment to carry the talents of Rembrandt at the DAM and offer our visitors the opportunity to interact with his brilliance, end quote. The exhibition places the Dutch master's portraits alongside works by Mary Beale, Peter Lely, and Anthony van Dyck, highlighting Rembrandt's lasting influence on European art. When, through 2025, tickets, general admission includes access to the exhibit, and youth under 18 can visit for free. Details, www.denverartmuseum.org or call 720-865-5000. Place, Denver Art Museum, 100 West 14th Avenue Parkway. The Life and Art of Tokyo Yumaya. The Life and Art of Tokyo Yumaya features more than 40 paintings loaned to the museum by the Japanese American National Museum and Yumaya's family, whose combined efforts to preserve his work have allowed the story of this accomplished and cosmopolitan artist to be told at the Denver Art Museum for the first time. Born in Japan, Tokyo Yumaya moved to the United States in 1908 at the age of 18, where he made a home until his death in 1954. This exhibition tells the story of Yumaya's life, including his early days as an art student in San Francisco, Southern California, and Philadelphia, his travels abroad in Europe and Mexico, his role as an artist and community member in Little Tokyo, Los Angeles, and his unconstitutional incarceration during World War II at the Granada Relocation Center, now the Amache National Historic Site in southeast Colorado. If you go through June 1st, where Denver Art Museum, 100 West 14th Avenue Parkway, tickets included in general admission, which is free for members and for all visitors 18 and under, details www.denverartmuseum.org. Down the road. World War II commemoration anniversary with Colorado Remembers. The Colorado Freedom Memorial in Aurora will host its annual Colorado Remembers event marking the anniversary of the end of World War II with a day of remembrance and history. The free event, the memorial site will feature a range of activities including a pancake breakfast, military displays, and a formal remembrance ceremony. From 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., visitors can enjoy a, quote, free will donation, end quote, pancake breakfast, accompanied by live music from the All-American Big Band. Proceeds benefit the Colorado Freedom Memorial Foundation. A remembrance ceremony is scheduled from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., followed by tours of the memorial and a static display of military vehicles and artifacts from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Highlights include the Honor Bell and a steel beam from the USS Arizona, as well as a curated collection of military artifacts. World War II veterans are especially encouraged to attend and will be honored during the event. Organizers are asking veterans or their families to contact the memorial for more information on how to participate in the recognition. If you go, where? Colorado Freedom Memorial, 756 Telluride Street. When? May 24th, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Details? ColoradoFreedomMemorial.com. Blues Heritage at Smoky Hill Library. Music lovers are invited to explore the deep roots of American music during a special presentation hosted by the Colorado Blues Society. The free event, quote, Discover the Roots of American Music, end quote, will offer live blues performance from a professional musician and gain insight from a blues expert on how the genre helped shape the sound of America music through the 20th century. The presentation will trace the influence of blues on legendary artists such as Elvis Presley, Duke Ellington, B.B. King, Miles Davis, Frank Sinatra, and the Allman Brothers Band. If you go, where? Smoky Hill Library, 5430 South Biscay Circle. When? 2 p.m., May 21st. Details and tickets. https://buff.ly/tfcgc1r or 303-542-7279. Prairie Pup Adventures offers preschool fun at Plains Conservation Center. Preschoolers can explore nature, science, and history through hands-on activities at Prairie Pup Adventures, held at the Plains Conservation Center in Southeast Aurora. Programs run from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. and are designed for children ages 3 to 6 with a caregiver. Upcoming topics include Cheyenne Native Americans on May 27th. Venture to the Tippis to learn about the Cheyenne tribe and how they lived for centuries off the natural resources of the prairie. Examine artifacts, listen to Native American stories, play traditional games, and taste dried berries and bison jerky to explore the amazing culture and history of the Cheyenne people. Campfire safety on June 10th. Learn about the science of fire and how to build a safe campfire and how to cook on one. We will work together to assemble the layers of a successful campfire and make edible campfire snacks to munch on while we watch the fire burn. Then we'll roast s'mores and learn how to prevent wildfires. Flower Power on June 24th. Flowers are beautiful and serve an important role for the plants they grow on. Join us on the prairie to learn all about flowers from their parts to their pollinators through science and art. Activities at all events include crafts, games, story time, and outdoor exploration. If you go, tickets. The fee is $8 per child. One adult per child is free. Additional adults and non-participating siblings over the age of 6 are $5. Infants under 18 months attend free. Details, botanicgardens.org. Venue, Plains Conservation Center, 21901 East Hamden Avenue. There is one picture associated with this article with the following description. S'mores on the shore at the Aurora Reservoir last year. Photo via City of Aurora. The pictures is of a bunch of people on a sandy shore with the water in the background and lots of different fires and tables set up around them. Centennial Citizen Independent, Volume 24, Issue 24, Week of May 15th, 2025. An Artist's Exploration of a Congo Seaport. Port de Banana exhibit opens at Littleton Museum, May 30th. Written by Chancey J. Gatlin. Special to Colorado Community Media. Prior to the 15th century, the Congo River Basin in Central Africa was inhabited almost exclusively by the Bantu people an expansive social lingual group of nearly 400 culturally similar tribes. Through the Congo River basins runs the Congo River, the second largest river in Africa and the ninth longest river in the world. This river runs from the Atlantic Ocean to the border of Zambia. The historic Bantu people relied on the river for their livelihood, depending on the flowing giant for water and food, and as a means of transportation throughout the region. The Congo River Basin saw Portuguese explorers enter the region in the latter half of the 15th century, followed by an influx of traders and settlers in the 18th and 19th centuries. These settlers revolutionized the area, creating a bustling inter-African and cross-sea trading industry. As commerce in the Congo Basin thrived, so did the devastating slave trade. Port de Banana was at the mouth of the Congo River, the last spot slaves stopped before being transported to the Americas along the Atlantic Middle Passage. Congolese Belizean artist Leo Bravo Bombakini tells the story of Port de Banana in his upcoming expedition at the Littleton Museum. Quote, "I mix vibrant colors, symbols, archetypes, and mythologies with traditionalist African motifs and contemporary Western ideals," end quote, said Bombaki. Quote, "My Port de Banana exhibit explores the narratives of life before and after the discovery of the Congo from an anthropologic and folklore perspective." Born in the Brussels, Bombaki immigrated to the United States at 8 years old and currently splits his time between Boulder and Brooklyn. Even before his move to the United States, Bombakini spent countless hours as a child in museum archives, collectors' basements, gallery showrooms, and places his mother frequented in her work as an African art historian and anthropologist. With babysitters scarce and childcare costly, Bombakini would pass the time sketching the masks and statues in his vicinity or imagining vibrant worlds of his own. He discovered worlds far more colorful than the muted grays of Brussels that he was used to. Bombakini's Port de Banana exhibit will run at the Littleton Museum from May 30th to August 10th. The opening celebration event will take place at 5:30 p.m. on May 29th. Bombakini will provide an introduction to the exhibit, followed by a spoken word recital by award-winning scholar and poet Tolowami Obiwol. The event will conclude with a live set by Coligny's musical trio, Manasi Kanoma and Friends. Bombakini will also host an artist talk event at the Littleton Museum on June 5th. Quote, "I believe art provides a window into the ethereal, the space between the societal, the physical, and the immaterial," end quote, Bombakini said. Quote, "It is the door to both past human experiences and its future manifestation. Art honors and acknowledges the past and inspires the future," end quote. This coverage comes courtesy of a grant from Littleton Arts and Cultural Program. As a matter of policy, funders exercise no control over editorial decisions. There are three pictures associated with this article. The first picture has the following description: artist Leo Bravo Bombakini in front of his painting entitled Lazare. There is lots of paint cans, spray cans, and a big mural with many different colors in the background hanging on the wall. The second picture has the following description: Port de Banana at the Littleton Museum. It is a poster of the Littleton Museum article for Port de Banana, listed for May 30th to August 10, 2025, solo exhibition. The third picture has the following description: painting entitled, quote, "Kiss the Moon, Dance Under the Stars," end quote, by Leo Bravo Bombakini. The picture is of a person, but their face is more of a skull with lots of different wings and feathers coming off of them. Development dries up Park Pond. Residential community diverts water that fed Littleton Wetland, by Isabel Guzman, isabel@cotln.org. A wetland pond in South Platte Park in Littleton is dry now because a new home development cut off its water source. The water source that fed the Dad Clark wetland area in South Platte Park was moved due to the development of a new gated community in Littleton, Parkview on the Platte. It was developed by the luxury home builder Toll Brothers in 2024. The homes sit on the west side of Santa Fe Drive, south of Mineral Avenue, near Littleton Equine Medical Center. Quote, the developer had a safety requirement to build a channel to allow the McAllen Reservoir spillway to flow to the river without houses being at risk, end quote, Deputy Littleton City Manager Mike Gantz said. Quote, Toll Brothers proposed a new channel design that ran north instead of west to keep their neighborhood from being split in half by this channel. And we, South Suburban Parks and Recreation, the City of Littleton, and the State of Colorado agreed to it, end quote. This change redirected the native stream, causing the Dad Clark wetland pond to dry up because its sandy soil couldn't retain water without the stream. Quote, rather than use intensive methods like constantly running pumps to maintain this small quarter-acre pond, it is more sustainable to convert this pond into an intermittent stream channel rather than try to maintain a fully submerged marsh habitat, end quote, Gent said. Volunteers salvaged several native plant species from the pond that aren't regionally rare but don't grow in other areas of the park. They transplanted them to other ponds that are used for educational purposes, said Gent. The former pond was used as a training site for native planting, but was not a protected wetland. It likely formed after the historic South Platte River flood of 1965 changed the river's course. The park ecology has been altered over time by urban development, flood control, and recreational use. Quote, this outcome is part of a long planning review process, which involved multiple agencies who reviewed and investigated alternatives and identified this as the most appropriate and viable solution, end quote, Gantz said. The Littleton Independent did not receive a response to its request for comment from South Suburban Parks and Recreation District, nor from Toll Brothers by press time. There is one picture associated with this article that has the following description. A placid view of Littleton South Platte Park in 2018, courtesy of South Platte Park. The picture is of a vibrant green tree background with water and some sandy shore of the pond. Two Memorial Day ceremonies set for Littleton. World War II Memorial Cemetery hosts May 26 events by Isabel Guzman, isabel@cotln.org. This Memorial Day, the Pat Hanan VFW Post 4666 and the American Legion George C. Evans Post 103 will host two ceremonies on May 26th. One will take place at the Littleton Cemetery and the other at the Littleton World War II Memorial in Kettering Park. The service at Littleton Cemetery will begin at 8 a.m. at Veterans Circle. The ceremony at the World War II Memorial will take place at 10 a.m., both events are free and open to the public. Highlights include a performance of the, quote, Amazing Grace, end quote, by the El Jebel Shrine Pipe Band, a 21-gun salute by All Veterans Honor Guard, and Bugler Jack Grandman performing, quote, Taps, end quote. For over two decades, both posts have led the Memorial Day commemorations to honor veterans. At the ceremonies, quote, My Plea, end quote, a poem written by LCPL Patrick Joseph Hanan, the 4666 Post's namesake, and the first Littleton resident to die in the Vietnam War, will be recited. In the leading days up to Memorial Day, the Pat Hanan Post distributes red poppies at local grocery stores as a symbol of remembrance. The Littleton World War II Memorial traces its origins to a 1995 community barbecue commemorating the 50th anniversary of World War II's end, according to the Littleton Museum. This event inspired the formation of a coordinating committee, officially recognized by the City of Littleton in 1996, to create a lasting tribute to World War II veterans. Over 5 years, the committee selected a site commissioned architect Robert Root of Root Rosenman in Denver to design the memorial and partnered with the South Suburban Parks and Recreation District for maintenance. Fundraising efforts include grant writing, selling memorial bricks, and engaging local businesses and organizations. The design aimed to honor all World War II veterans, educate future generations, and capture the global impact of the war. Local high school and college history departments contributed to the educational text displayed on the memorial's theater monoliths. According to Pat Hanan, post-adjutant Jim Bunch, a plaque honoring veterans who have served since World War II was designed and dedicated by the City of Littleton, Post 4666, and American Legion Post 103 on Veterans Day 2003. Thank you for joining us today for Arapahoe County News, read by Austin.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.